We are reading the article, Time to Act. You can find it in kabbalah.info/eng under Baal HaSulam, article Time to Act. You can ask questions live during the lesson through kab.tv. Selected questions about relevant to the theme of the lesson will be aired. So again, we're reading from the Hebrew book, Kabbalah Matchil, article Time to Act. You can find it at kabbalah.info/eng under Baal HaSulam. Time to Act. For a long time now, my conscience has burdened me with a demand to come out and compose a fundamental composition regarding the essence of Judaism, religion, and the Kabbalah, and spread it among the people so that people will come to the understanding that these exalted matters in their true meaning. In other words, Baal HaSulam feels urgency and a need, an obligation, and a highest importance in doing a very, very drastic, decisive, and extreme step that before him no one has done, because Rabbi Shimon wrote the Book of Zohar and hid it. The Holy Ari didn't write anything on his own, but through Rabbi Chaim Vital, and the writings were concealed. They were revealed only a few generations after. Besides Rashbi and the Holy Ari, only Baal HaSulam, who put together a commentary for the Book of Zohar and for the writings of the Ari, had the same level of revelation as the Ari and Rabbi Shimon. And when he disclosed these matters that they concealed after they wrote them, both Ari and Rashbi, they wrote and concealed. Baal HaSulam himself take their writings, interprets them, prints them out, and spreads them to everyone possible. So he made a step that no one before him has done. People just studied here and there, just a few. There was no Kabbalist before him who published a newspaper. There was no Kabbalist who spoke to the people before him. Like he explains to us in the article Time to Act, there was no Kabbalist who addressed the wide audience. And this is something that is completely not identified with the wisdom of Kabbalah. How could it be that such a thing is possible? Even today, some people don't agree to this, that the wisdom of Kabbalah has to be revealed to everyone without any limitation. Hence, we have to understand what urges him, propels him to do that, to come out openly, without any limitation, open up this wisdom to everyone, invite everyone, bring it out to everyone, and throughout all of history, there was no man who did such a thing. He is the only spiritual revolutionist in the whole of history of humanity. And why? He explains to us that he has no choice and he must do it because for the first time in the whole evolution of lights and vessels, the development of ego on the face of earth, and how the upper forces develop everything, for the first time the vessels have finished the development of their preparation from above, and they are now ready for their correction from below. And hence, what happened the moment the vessels finished the breakage, mixture, and preparation for correction, from that moment on, it is called a time to act. Before that, there was nothing belonging to man's doing, because everything happens from above. Over time, throughout history, by the special souls who came down to this world and prepared everything for us. Now, with the emergence of his books, along with the return to the land of Israel, the preparation that has been done both physically and spiritually, everything is now prepared for man, and hence it is time to act. But, nevertheless, even though everything is seemingly ready, it still requires a very delicate, diverse, wide explanation to everyone, to all kinds of people, in order to explain what is it talking about, the broken world, the broken soul, the purpose of creation, why everything happens the way it happens, how everything develops by way of cause and effect. For that, we need a great system of explanation in order for everyone to perceive and realize his role. Besides that, we also have to explain to man what is not only his individual state, but the world's state, as a result of the breakage and the historical process. Of course, nothing was made without a reason. Rather, we are in a state where everything that exists in our world is justified. It has the right to exist, and we shouldn't eliminate anything or delete anything. But if we see corruptions, we have to understand that they stem from the breakage of the vessels. Therefore, in the right attitude, relation to them, we can correct them, and that is our obligation. So, relate with responsibility and gently and subtly to each and every phenomenon is the good start of correction. And hence he explains. Prior to the innovations in the printing industry there weren't books among us that related to the essence of Judaism, as there were almost no writers who could not stand behind their words. For the simple reason that in most cases an irresponsible person is not famous. He is talking about times when we were not corrupted until the destruction of the temple. All the books until then were called the holy books because they were written from a spiritual level. A spiritual level means bestowal, the level of Bina, and that is also called holiness, Kodesh in Hebrew. And from the time of the destruction of the temple, even though the whole people fell from the revelation of godliness, the people who wrote the books were still known as people with spiritual attainment. They still attained spirituality, and from their spiritual height, they wrote the books. Hence, all the books they wrote are ascribed to the holy books or holy scriptures that describe man's spiritual attainment, attainment of bestowal, love of the Creator. From that level they wrote. And that existed until the time of, like he says, the printing industry started, where everyone can do whatever he wants. And that corrupted the handful of books that we were sure were the real books, the correct books. And now, from the moment that the printing industry started, there are many books that really have no connection to spirituality. Novels or poems or poets or books that seemingly talk about spiritual worlds, whatever. But we have to clearly distinguish what are the real books that are written from the world of truth, from man's spiritual attainment, and books that don't belong to this, but are written from a corporeal level, where a person exists with the five physical senses. And that is not a problem to distinguish. Some write all kinds of novels, scientific or philosophic books or anything else, and the others write about the spiritual world. The problem is that people who have no spiritual attainment start writing as if they have spiritual attainment, and they bring confusion because people think that they write from their understanding of the spiritual world. And that is indeed a great problem. Because when it's already the time to use the wisdom of Kabbalah, the books of Kabbalah, in order to correct ourselves, we have to explain to the common people what are the books they are permitted to read in terms of correcting themselves. Hence, our explanation is simple. I'm a bit jumping forward here with the explanation. The books that we write are explanatory, introductory books only. The whole study has to be according to the sources of Baal HaSulam only. Only the authentic sources. It's impossible to read a book written by anyone else besides the... for instance, the Gra, the Ramchal, those authentic, genuine Kabbalists, in addition to Baal HaSulam, but in fact, the source is him. And books written by me, or written by you, my students, or other people will write, they can be helpful only on the condition that they explain the person a few principles in order to read the sources of Baal HaSulam. Therefore, teaching the audience, the people, what to read and in what way to open up the book and read it is a great problem, because if you go to a bookstore, you see 99% of books that are simply trash. They're written only from man's understanding of this world, but it is written as if he understands the spiritual world without real attainment. And I'm talking about books of even the academy of, or anyone who wants to be famous. Therefore, it is our must, our obligation to explain this first. Paragraph 3. Therefore, if by chance one dared to write such a composition, no scribe would copy it, as it would simply not return the investment, which was quite considerable. Thus, such a composition was doomed from the start to be lost. Yes, because the audience, the people, used to adhere to what the Kabbalists say about what is a genuine, authentic book. And they used it. Today, when everything is breached, no one listens, the Kabbalists are... No one sees them, and no one listens to what they say, and hence the corruption touches everyone and is dangerous. What did you want to ask? Andre from Germany asks, if it is time to act, then it is a sign that we have finished the development of the corporeal desire. In fact, it is. We are in the final stages of the developing will to receive. We have entered the phase of Daledin Daled, the fourth level of the fourth degree, in which we evolve. Hence, the will to receive today is so great that it is about to detach people from each other completely. People don't want to feel themselves related to their country, their world, the family, their children, even to themselves. To themselves, meaning they want to detach themselves from themselves by drugs, for instance. These are signs of the record high will to receive. In the past, there were villages, communities, there were all kinds of natural relations between people until the will to receive has grown so much so that there is no connection among people whatsoever. Everything can be bought and sold. Meaning, if something is worthwhile, profitable, then I do it. If not, then I don't. And this is how it is with parents and children even. I'm not even talking about couples. And people only want to be behind their computer screen. And this is the only way they see themselves connected to other people. Because it doesn't limit them. And that makes them feel comfortable. On the condition that there are many others as well who feel the same and want to even detach from themselves. Hence, it is signs of the will to receive growing to its final ripeness, maturity. From now on, it can no longer exist. Alongside, if the point in the heart unfolds, it aims a person directly to the goal, to the purpose. Dro from Ramat Gan City in Israel asks, how is it possible to really distinguish between someone who has an attainment and someone who doesn't? What is a spiritual attainment anyway? Spiritual attainment means that a person starts feeling the Creator, just like he feels everyone else in this world.
He starts feeling the upper force operate on him, being in correspondence with him, operate him, etc. This means spiritual attainment. In spirituality, we have no more than the attainment of the spiritual force, the upper force, the one force. That's it. We don't have worlds out there the same as we talk about down here, and nice structures and something else and the skies. All of this is within a person, and outside of oneself, he senses only the upper force, constantly working on him, surrounding him, and advancing him. This means spiritual attainment. Now, how to discern people that are in attainment and that are not in attainment? It's impossible. The only thing we can do is to discern between what they say. It says, well, I'm talking in, I'm not talking from the sources here, but it says that if a person teaches you how to reach the fear of heavens and love through the love of the other to the love of the Creator, through fear to the love of the Creator, then it is possible that he is true, that he is real. If he tells you to learn Kabbalah from the sources that are actually from the last Kabbalists that interpreted the whole Kabbalah for us, and different Kabbalists, they introduced them up till now, it's Bala Sulam. If he recommends you to learn, and he studies on his own, and he keeps to it, and he interprets himself only the words of Bala Sulam, it is also a sign that it is possible that he is an attainment. And different other signs, but they're scrutinized, it's clarified pretty quickly to a person according to his development. There are many people that can both teach the path and also teach from Bala Sulam's words. And each one, he's already in. It's possible that each one, he studies with someone matching his character or something. And in this, we also have several manners. And the person, he studies only where his heart desires it. And therefore, the signs, they're like we're being told in free choice. The Creator brings a person to his place, and the person, he must strengthen himself. Yes? Ziv, he's asking us, what's the difference between the scriptures and the books of Agra, Ari, and Bala Sulam, all talking about the upper world? What is the uniqueness of Bala Sulam's scriptures? There are many scriptures of Kabbalists. Abu Lafia and the Rashash thousands of Kabbalists, the students of the Baal Shem Tov, the students of the Agra, Kabbalists up to the times of the Ramak, that he was before the Ari. We cling only to one thing. The Book of Zohar, in which the whole Kabbalah is, from the Book of Zohar, which was concealed, till the Ari was revealed, there were no books of the wisdom of Kabbalah in an obvious, clear manner, because all of them, even though Kabbalists did reveal, it was in a way where it was impossible to use it till the Ari came. Therefore, the Ari, he's such a symbol for the beginning of correction, the Messiah, son of Joseph. And therefore, Ari's Kabbalah is the foundation of the method of the correction. And after the Ari, actually, no one interpreted him. But each one, well, different Kabbalists, they wrote something in addition. Books like Tal Orot, Maor En Shemesh. There are many books. I studied from these books. These are good books. Especially the first Chassids. But all of those books, they don't give a precise method according to which one can go and acquire the corrections step by step as required, till Baal HaSulam appeared. He took the whole Zohar, all the scriptures of the Ari, and he turned it into a method, scientific, precise method, which is suitable for our times. You have tests in a gradual that explains to you step by step as cause and effect, cause and consequence, questions and answers, the interpretation of the words, meaning that he has built it so that truly in your hands you have a tool with which to work. He has given you many introductions surrounding this in order for you to know how to properly refer to the Zohar and to the tests. He wrote around this articles that give you the general observation, the general overview of the wisdom of Kabbalah, Kabbalah in philosophy, Kabbalah in science, the essence of Kabbalah, its connection with other sciences, body and soul, perception of reality. He has given you such a general picture. For if you take his things, then you don't need anything else. It's enough of a framework in order to reach the correction. In addition, what we can add, these are like nice additions. It's what I studied with the Rabash, Adir Bamarom. In addition to the Sefer Tzniut of the Agra, in addition to what we have in the Zohar, Maor En Shemesh, these are names of different books, Yosher Divrei Emet, of course, Divrei Hashem of the Ramchal, and all of the scriptures of the Ramchal. The Ramchal, he was very profound of him, and he liked him very much. He was a great Kabbalist. He was very fond of him. And, of course, we add, besides the Ari, also the Book of Zohar. Nothing written by the Ari besides the Book of Zohar. Not that he was great, they weren't great. Baal HaSulam himself, he writes about this, that they were great. Only they didn't know how to interpret correctly for us. They lacked the kelim. It's like we learned 2,000 years that first of all, there were the Kelim of Chabad on a small of Yud. Afterward, upon the small of Yud, great Orot were revealed, but in a word of a form of Nefesh, without scrutiny. The scrutiny comes in our times. Therefore, the final, the last Kabbalah is the closest to us. He's actually the one capable of revealing, interpreting the Kabbalah in a way which is both suitable for us, and it is in the most profound, deepest, elaborate fashion, because he has also revealed great Kelim, because he is with us in the last 2,000 years. And we have here a passage suitable for this. It says in Gilui Tefach and Kisui Tefachim, also those previous to the Arizal, they did not have permission from the heavens to discover these matters, and the Ari, he did receive the permission. And you cannot discern here greatness nor smallness, because it is possible that those before him were much greater than the Ari. However, they did not receive a permission to do this, therefore they abstained themselves from writing clarifications to the wisdom, and they did not write things that... And because of this, when the books of the Ari were revealed in the world, all those engaged in Kabbalah, they stopped learning the books of the Ramak and all those before him. And all of their studies, they adhered to the scriptures of the Ari, so that these compositions regarding the clarification of this wisdom are the books of the Zohar and corrections, and after them the works of Dari. Yes. Regarding this, Yuval from Mexico says, what does it mean receive a permission from above? How does the Kabbalist know what can and what can he reveal? A Kabbalist knows. I have nothing to say, to add. A Kabbalist knows, since he has a connection with the Creator, with the force operating him, and he knows what that force operating him demands. And then, between him and this power, this force, there is a connection, and the result of this connection, he goes and discovers in what way and how, in which form and amount, and towards whom reveals these things. A Kabbalist, he knows this as a result of attainment. How does an ordinary person know what to do in life? Because according to his mind, he examines, and that's what he does. The Kabbalist, he does it according to his revelation. Please. We are on page 9, however. Sorry. In those days, knowledgeable people had no interest in writing such a book because the people did not need that knowledge. Quite the contrary. They had an interest in building it in certain chambers for the reason that the glory of God is to be hidden. We were commanded to conceal the essence of the Torah from those who did not need it, or were unworthy of it, and also to not degrade it by displaying it in shop windows for the lusting eyes of the boasting, because thus the glory of God demands. Meaning, during the exile, after the destruction of the temple, there were no Kabbalistic books written besides the Book of Zohar that was concealed, and even if it was discovered, it was discovered by mistake, and we learn what it means that it was revealed by mistake. Everything comes from above. Till the times of the Ari, these were the times of exile, there were no more true Kabbalistic books revealed, and Kabbalists that even wrote something for themselves, they either wrote for those that are merely only for those in attainment, and they passed it on from one to the other in different forms and hints, the way they wrote it, and therefore they had no permission from above for the matter. because it was a time of exile, and all the Kabbalists themselves said that it's forbidden to study Kabbalah till the age of 40 and with different limitations. And whoever wants, he has to be holy and worthy of it, etc., etc. Because it's forbidden for us to go against time. The time of exile has to end in their time, and after it comes to an end, then it is possible to start with the dissemination of the Kabbalah in order to start the correction. And as long as they're still in exile, we also see it from the Egyptian exile, as long as they're in exile, till the very last moment, the coming out of exile is ordinarily extremely quick. Till the very last moment, we have to keep that manner called exile, because the darkness has a special role, during the period of which we grow. We develop our kelim. And we also have something, there's a nice quote, Yaniv C. says, from the article of The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose. The Essence of Kabbalah and Its Purpose. Bala Sulam writes, I'm happy to be born in such a generation where it is already allowed to publicize Kabbalah. And if you ask me, how do I know this? I'll tell you that since I have received the permission to reveal, meaning that up till now, no sage were these ways discovered to in which one could disperse this among the many and interpret each and every word. And I have also sworn unto my teacher not to reveal like all those students before me. But this oath does not hold onto those ways of discerning it from mouth to mouth from the prophets and onwards, because if these ways would have been discovered to the nation, they would have wrought a great loss. However, the way in which I write it in my book, it is a permitted way, and I was ordered by my teacher to disperse this as much as possible, and this is what the Creator has given me in a complete form that is accepted upon us, that it doesn't depend on the greatness of one's, of a Kabbalist, but on the state of the generation. And therefore I said that all of my merit for the revelation of the wisdom is because of my generation. So what does he actually say? That if we have reached a time where we must correct ourselves and reach the final private and general corrections, then there are already different laws working in the world. Laws that are different to the coming out of exile. And then, accordingly, do we act, both Kabbalists and also we. Okay, but ever since the printing of books became popular and inexpensive, thus eliminating the need for manual scribes, the way has been paved for irresponsible writers to publish whatever books they please for money or glory. But they do not take into account their own actions and examine the consequences of their work.
From that time on, the publication of such non-credible books began to significantly increase without any tutoring and mouth-to-mouth transmission from a rabbi that is qualified for that, and even without knowledge of earlier books that dealt with this topic. Such writers fabricated theories of their own empty shells and related their words to the most exalted matters, and so claimed to portray the essence and fabulous treasure of the nation. Such fools cannot even know how to be careful, and they permeate faulty views to generations. And in return for their petty lusts, they sin and make the nations sin for generations to come. Bala Sulam explains to us in the introduction to Panim Meirot Umasbirot, the introduction to the book Tree of Life, that there are types of desires. 4. Bodily lusts and humane lusts. the human lusts are divided to money, respect, control, and knowledge. So he says, we are forbidden to introduce the wisdom of Kabbalah to those who still have desires for human lusts, because they will start advertising the wisdom of Kabbalah to the extent that they perceive in their own egoistic desires, but they will want to publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah in order to benefit some money or be famous or control others with their opinion, receive some medallions or prizes or honor of being a rabbi or being a so-called Kabbalist and so on. So there's a problem here. If we open up the wisdom of Kabbalah, and before this time it wasn't open at all, then people who didn't study enough, who didn't reach spiritual attainment, and didn't study with those who had spiritual attainment, they start to confuse the market, to confuse the people with their attitude, with their own books, and everyone is doing whatever he wants. And that's a great danger, because it drives people to confusion. They give people all kinds of forged books. First of all, they don't study the sources. Maybe if they would somewhat study Baal HaSulam, then something would happen. Let's say they would be studying even Lo Lishma, but every beginner can read their books, and things today happen which we can see and notice on the street. That's the problem. The false books have multiplied so much, books that were not written by those who had spiritual attainment. Recently, their stench has soared upward because they have plunged their nails in the wisdom of Kabbalah, not minding that this wisdom has been locked and chained behind 1,000 doors to this day, that no person may understand the true meaning of even a single word of it, much less the connection between one word and the next. That is because in all the genuine books that were written to this day, there are no more than clues that barely suffice for a knowledgeable disciple to understand their true meaning, coming from the mouth of a wise and reliable Kabbalist. And there too the conspirators have multiplied, who make such delights and that disgust those who behold them. Some of them even go as far as presume to assume the place of the leaders of the generation, and they pretend to know the difference between the ancient books and tell which of them is worthy of study and which isn't. It is both frustrating and infuriating, because until today the work of discriminating the good from the bad had been limited to 1 in 10 leaders of a generation, and now the ignorant abuses it. The problem is that the generation also doesn't know what books are right. It keeps studying the literal Torah instead of the internal Torah, like we learned in the introduction to the book of Zohar, the dry Torah instead of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And if he starts studying Kabbalah, there's also a question of what books does he study and what is Kabbalah for him. So we are in a very much corrupted state. And the problem is how to start the correction in practice, how to bring people the knowledge of the genuine books, the authentic approach towards all the false books that you can find anywhere. That's a problem. Before the correction starts, we have to bring people this knowledge. Today, the wisdom of Kabbalah is sold under many names. People want to benefit from it. So they say, here you have holy water, you have this kind of medicine, you can benefit this or that. But like we learn from the genuine Kabbalists, the wisdom of Kabbalah has no connection whatsoever with such things. It is only the revelation of the Creator to the creature. Or put differently, the revelation of the quality of bestowal and love within the creature, called the Creator. And we see how everything else is not beneficial and is not helpful, because if we would see good results, we would see people corrected, loving others and achieving love for the Creator. They can say that they love the Creator, but in fact, love for the Creator can only stem from love for the others. And we see that this doesn't exist. Unfortunately, there's a lot more to do. And second last paragraph. Therefore, the perception of these matters by the public has been greatly corrupted. In addition, there is an atmosphere of frivolity. People think that a glance in one's leisure time is sufficient for the study of such exalted matters. They superficially browse over the deep sea of wisdom and the essence of Judaism in a glance, and reach conclusions based on their passing mood. These are the reasons that have prompted me to go out of my way and decide that it is time to do for the Lord and save that which can still be saved. Thus, I have taken upon myself to reveal a certain amount of the true essence which relates to the above matter and spread it among the nation. We see that this is what prompted him, urged him to fill his role, and this is what he did. Well, and we have to conclude from this how we should act and continue his path. Yes, Gershon asks. We read that Baal HaSulam says that everything he can write is because his generation is worthy of listening. On the other hand, we learn that the generation is corrupted with corporeal lusts, and therefore it is worthwhile. Therefore it is worthwhile, can you explain? Because the generation has reached a state where there is nowhere else to advance anymore. We learn that what is the connection, the intermediate between truth and false? It is the revelation of false. So, in a generation like ours, we discover the complete false. It is completely clear to all of us that we are all liars, egoists, in the lowest level. And that brings us the recognition of the urgency of our correction. There's a quote about this as well from the introduction to the book Tree of Life, page 240. It says, since the face of the generation is as the face of the dog, and they are yelling, give, give, and the wisdom of the wisest has been corrupted, and therefore we can remove the locks from the wisdom, because there is no doubt and fear from people, students who are not decent, and who could sell the wisdom in the market. Because the wisdom is already despicable, and no one thinks he can achieve fame by selling it. And therefore, we can open it up without anyone coming closer to it. And therefore, every check, examination, can be removed from one who wants to study it. So even the young can study it. let's repeat the quote. It is from the introduction to the book Tree of Life. Since the face of the generation is as the face of the dog, and the wisdom of the sages became corrupted, therefore we can take out the locks and the great guard, because there is no more fear from students who are not decent, who could sell this wisdom, because this wisdom is despised by everyone. No one hopes to achieve fame or honor by that. Therefore, there is no fear that people who are not decent will use it. Meaning today, everyone who comes to the wisdom of Kabbalah and really wants to invest in it, sits down and study. And the correct approach to the goal filterizes the people. We see how many people come and how many people stay. People who don't yet have a ripe, scrutinized desire, they leave this path, and only those whose desire is for correction stay. Therefore, we don't need any limitations anymore and tests. Rather, open up the wisdom of Kabbalah to the whole generation, and whoever comes is intended. And if he doesn't intend it yet, then maybe he'll study a bit and then leave, and maybe come back in the next life cycle, and thus the world advances towards the desirable correction. Questions? There's a similar question coming both from Israel and from Russia. They ask, if everything comes from the Creator, why the non-credible books are published? Because it also belongs to the scrutiny. And if so, then why Baal HaSulam blames them? Look, our world is built in a way that there can't be a revelation of light without darkness and a revelation of truth without confusion and false. Just like it says, the person cannot do a mitzvah without transgressing first, without sinning first. And before every ascent, there's a descent and failure. This is how we advance, on the one hand. Now, on the other hand, no one respects darkness. No one respects decline. No one appreciates the klipa, the shell. Even though these systems do bring us advancements toward the purpose. So, even though he talks about it this way, on the other hand, when we are in the klipot, the shells, the klipot themselves, the egoistic desires, are what forces us to publish these wrong books and to be confused through all kinds of things. But through these confusions, we eventually clarify the truth. Of course, it extends the exiles and postpones the corrections, but this is the form of advancement in the meantime. And we still have to try and fight it. Not fight directly these people who produce these books, but fight in showing the people what is the truth. What is it and where is it? And correspondingly, all other people with their quote-unquote Kabbalah will simply fall. Vanish. Today it's still far from it. You see that there are many, so to speak, fortune tellers and people who seemingly use Kabbalah to give you all kinds of medicines and blessings and charms and whatever that doesn't belong to Kabbalah. Look how many people are writing about souls, incarnations, and anything else to earn some money or be famous. Or to treat patients and earn money. But the audience, the people themselves still need it, because they still think that these things can bring them some benefit, but it only gives them psychological support, and they still think they correct their life by that. They still need additional vessels where they can understand that these things are not realistic, are not real. But there's no choice, because people still like playing with myths and tales and something that is seemingly supernatural. I want something to happen to me. Until man develops to an inner understanding that this can't be. Just like we stop reading children's stories, but we still have our own stories, our own tales. But these false tales is something we also have to overcome and grow from. And it takes time. We're only in the beginning of correction. However, from day to day, these things unfold in a greater and greater extent, and we are already able to expect that all those fortune tellers and all those, I'm even talking about those who are false, who write all kinds of books, those who deflect the people from the path of correction and the path to the Creator. We see that the process is already there, advancing, and it will soon be finished. Moshe from Los Angeles asks, what is the right way to explain to people who I'm going to meet in the Independence Fair, and they will say that they study the method of Baal HaSulam in the right way as well. I don't know people in America who study according to the method of Baal HaSulam. I don't know anyone like that. Even though the same known Kabbalah Center Institute says that he takes the sources of Baal HaSulam, I'm telling you that there is nothing that talks about red strings, holy waters, dream interpretation, profit in business, success in sex, or anything like that appears in the sources of Baal HaSulam, or anything else that they sell. The opposite is the truth. Baal HaSulam writes, the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is the correction of man to the level of the Creator, the revelation of the Creator to the creature, without any connection to what's happening in this world. Not success of any type in this world can Kabbalah bring you. It will bring you success, but only from the spiritual level you will attain. You don't come to Kabbalah in order to have something good in this world with your children, your family, friends, business, money, honor and fame, and so on. The wisdom of Kabbalah cannot help you with this. It is not intended for this. It reveals the spiritual force according to the extent to which you actually become detached from those corporeal egoistic desires. How can they say that they teach Baal HaSulam if they don't teach that definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah that he gives? So of course it's not Baal HaSulam. There's nothing else to say. Show me where Baal HaSulam talks about what you teach. There's no such thing. Not in the writings of the Ari. The Ari writes explicitly, it is forbidden to use amulets or charms. It is a lie, simply lying to people. Unless there is no choice, and you have a sick person, and you have no medicine for him, so you want to tell him that everything is fine because his life is bad, and you want to mitigate it for him, sweeten it for him. That's a different thing. That has a calming effect. But it has to be obvious that we're doing it purposefully. But in the time where our generation deserves correction and you're shutting their eyes, you're just increasing the suffering that multiply in the meantime. Therefore, instead of suffering, you have to bring them the true method of how to correct them. And instead of that, what do you give them? The medicine that only comes down and while the disease still grows and expands as we speak. Therefore, the Ari, the holy Ari, who starts the correction as the Messiah, the son of Joseph, prohibits these things. Rashid from Russia asks, living and studying Kabbalah requires not a simple internal and external effort. Should we say that to people who start studying introductory lectures? This is something that a person discovers on his own. He is in an environment and he strengthens by the environment and by the books. And the few steps, first few steps that he does eases the path of his path and the path of the world towards correction. Therefore, he should only show a person what's written in the sources. That's all. And he himself will know how to continue and in what pace, with which group, environment, and in what way. This is the same thing with all our students. Everyone chooses his own connection to a group, to dissemination, to the study, and thus the whole world advances. We have to conclude, right? A few messages before we conclude. We invite all the viewers to stay with us after the lesson and watch the morning show, Boker Or. Rav Lightman's lectures in Israel, in Bnei Baruch Kabbalah Education and Research Institute, Bet Kabbalah La'am, are held in 112 Jabotinsky Street, Petah Tikva City. There's a free entrance every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Israel time. Ask the Kabbalists. A show on www.kab.tv and on the Israeli TV channel Mikan every Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Israel time. You can ask questions live through www.kab.tv, or if you're in Israel, you can call 1-700-509-209. By this, we conclude. Thanks to all of our viewers. Good day and great night.